Yeah. All right. Good to see y'all. Play y'all a song. I will tonight at midnight. How's that sound? All right. All right. Well, I'm going to talk about the justice mandate here at the House of Prayer. God has called us and gripped us with a mandate for praying for justice. We have been focusing this past week actually on three particular injustices, and there are many in this world, as you'll find out. But three of them that we specifically focused on was the ending of abortion, human trafficking, and homosexuality. Just that God would break in with a revelation to people in that lifestyle. What we called the staff to do last week was to stand on the lifelines, and these are lines, you've probably already seen them in the front of the prayer room. They say life on it. That's why they're called lifelines. And what we do is we stand up on those lifelines and we stand in the place of prayer crying out that God would break in with justice for the unborn and those who are oppressed through human trafficking and other things. And so you'll actually be participating in that, I believe, this next week after orientation. You'll be standing on those lines. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we're standing about when we're on those lines and just God's heart for the ending of abortion. You're going to want to have your Bibles available, because we're going to be in the Word here in a little bit. I'm going to kind of tell y'all a little bit about our history before we get into the Word, but just have them ready. Well, IHOP has a mandate to contend for the ending of abortion. Some of you have maybe begun to hear the prophetic history. I don't know if y'all have gotten into that yet. Those of you who are in track two, you've heard the prophetic history. So you know a guy by the name of Bob Jones. How many of y'all have heard of Bob Jones? Okay, most of y'all in the room. That's good. That's good. Well, those of you all that don't know, ask your neighbor afterwards, because most of the people in here know. So, well, on August 7th, 1975, God told Bob about all the ways that technology would perform abortions. Basically, an angel appeared to him while he was in the car and told Bob just about all the different ways that abortions were going to be performed in the future, partial birth abortion and other things like that. And the enemy told him, the enemy later appeared to him and told him that if he spoke out concerning the issue of abortion and the other things, that the enemy would kill him. And Bob did it anyway. He said, I'm not your property. I'm going to share about the things that God has told me. I'm called to do that. And he did it anyway. The enemy killed him. And some of y'all know that story. He had a death encounter. He literally, his heart stopped beating. He actually died, and he went to heaven, and God showed him, like, several things about actually what we're doing here, 24/7 prayer in Kansas City, that God was going to raise that up. But the issue, one of the three things that the enemy told him that they were going to kill him for was the issue of abortion. So it's in our prophetic history, like, big time here at IHOP, that we contend for the ending of abortion. So I kind of wanted to set some of that up. Well, May 7th through the 28th of 05, Bound for Life, a ministry of Lou Engle and IHOP, did a 22-day silent siege. Some of y'all are aware of that. Basically, we stood out in front of an abortion clinic with red tape over our mouth that said life on it. And what we did with that, it came from a dream that a guy that was with Lou Engle had. He saw thousands of young people in front of the Supreme Court with this red tape over their mouth that said life, crying out in silence for the ending of abortion. Because see, the unborn in the womb, they have no voice. I mean, so many are slaughtered through abortion and they have no voice. They can't even speak. And what we're doing is we were identifying with the silent cries of 46 million babies or so that have been killed in this nation. Well, God put that on Brent Steno's heart, and we stood outside of this Planned Parenthood clinic about 10 minutes. And it was it's about 10 minutes from here, and it's ominously located on a street called Roe Avenue, which is pretty crazy. Those of you that are familiar with the abortion issue, you know about a case called Roe versus Wade that legalized abortion in America. So it's pretty crazy. It's about 10 minutes from here. You go down Red Bridge and hit State Line there, you know, it's right after all that. So it's right down the road, and we stood out there, and it was amazing just how it kind of hit with our prophetic history. Mike Bickle and Brent were looking at the calendar and deciding, you know, what dates are we going to do this 22-day silent siege. And it was amazing because the only 21 days that were open was a 21-day fast that Mike had called previously, and you'll hear about this in your prophetic history, but basically that was the fast that established that God was calling us as the International House of Prayer to do 24/7 prayer in the spirit of the Tabernacle of David. And the Lord actually spoke that audibly to Bob Jones during that fast, and then also a comet appeared in the heavens and a lot of other crazy stuff that you're going to hear about, so don't worry. I'm going to have to leave it at that because I got other things I got to cover, but you'll hear about that if you haven't heard about it yet. So it's pretty crazy what all God did. But anyway, I just wanted to kind of connect that with our calling as a house to contend for this issue. So anyway, I'm going to tell you a little bit about abortion, human trafficking, and homosexuality. I'm going to start with the issue of abortion. I'm going to give you some statistics. Since 1973, as of last night when I was preparing these notes, 48,429,271 babies estimated have been killed in America from abortion. That's about 4,400 every day are killed through abortion. Worldwide, the totals are in about 50 million worldwide every year die from abortion. That's just like, in fact, it's so many that we can't really even wrap our minds around it. It's just like, you know, we hear that number and it's like, okay, you know, I could understand maybe 1,000, you could imagine that, but you can't imagine 50 million. That's just like crazy. So an especially evil part of abortion that I've been kind of focusing on, a lot of my prayers on, is the partial birth abortion. Basically, that's where a baby is delivered and the baby is actually killed outside of the womb. It's partially delivered and then is killed when it's partially delivered. According to the Center for Disease Control, as I was doing some research last night, in 2003, 11,874 babies were aborted over 21 weeks. So it's just massive. I mean, it's a intense problem. I think as I was studying it also, I think I came across that it's like illegal in every other nation of the earth. You know, nations consider it partial birth abortion barbaric, actually, is what Samuel Alito said, one of the Supreme Court justices. I mean, it's wickedness. It's totally wickedness. And anyway, it's something that I'm crying out to God that would end in our nation. And that's actually, I'm going to kind of give you some points for prayer over the issue of abortion. Then I'm going to share from Psalm 18. So if you want to go ahead and open up to the Bible there, that'd be great. Open up there myself. Well, here's two or three points of prayer. If you have a pen, you might want to take this down, but we have the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act of 2003. President Bush signed this into law actually in 2003, but it's been tied up in the courts ever since then. And we're crying out to God that this law would go into effect that would actually effectively end partial birth abortion in America. But like I said, it has to get past the Supreme Court. And so there's 9 Supreme Court justices. I'm just praying every night, God, encounter the Supreme Court justices in their sleep. Lord, just touch John Roberts. Lord, touch Samuel Alito, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Lord, encounter them in their dreams, Lord. Show them about abortion. Show them what it's doing to women, Lord, and just open their eyes. And, you know, I'm praying all these prayers that God would just touch their hearts. And I just encourage you to jump in there with me. But we're also praying for a second thing related to that with the Supreme Court justices. Most likely, one of the Supreme Court justices is going to resign this year. That's the talk in the Supreme Court, that most likely one of those guys is going to resign. Well, President Bush will have the opportunity to appoint a third justice in his term, which is a lot of justices actually for a president to appoint. But it's looking like God's going to give him this opportunity. It's really awesome. But we must pray that President Bush will have boldness. You know, he's one of the least popular presidents right now ever. And so we need to pray that God would give him boldness to anyway go against the many people that will be pulling on him to put a moderate justice in there that won't fight for the ending of abortion. We need to pray that God would give him boldness to put a justice in there that will fight for the ending of abortion. And so pray for the Supreme Court. This is a critical time. Well, South Dakota, Utah, and Georgia, those are 3 states. Any of y'all from there? South Dakota, Utah, or Georgia? You're from Georgia? You're from Utah. Woohoo! Guys, this is your states. They are trying to ban abortion. South Dakota is trying to do it again. They tried last year to ban abortion, and they're trying to do it again. And so I am just crying out that the Lord would break in. These laws are in kind of some of the beginning stages of in committee. The Georgia one's actually a little bit more progressed. It's in the Judiciary Committee now. But anyway, we need to pray that God would break into these legislators, that he would touch their hearts, and he would move on their hearts, and that their hearts would just be changed and radically impacted with the gospel. And yeah. Yeah, but what that would happen if these states did that, it would challenge Roe versus Wade. So we want to pray that that happens. Let's look at Psalm 18 real quick. This is a passage that applies to both issues, the human trafficking issue that I'm about to share, but it also very directly applies to the issue of abortion. I spent some time with a guy named Lou Engel. Any of y'all ever heard of him? This was a passage that the Lord highlighted for us. I was just actually listening to a CD of that. The Lord gave us a prophetic dream and said that there was a well in Psalm 18 over the issue of abortion. And as I begin to look at this, I've realized that so much. I read this sometimes from the perspective of the unborn, and it's just intense. Well, let's read this. I'm going to start in verse 4. And just imagine this, unborn babies in the womb, and you're right with where I'm reading it from. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. And in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry for help before him came into his ears. You can just imagine there, verse 6, in their distress, you know, 50 million babies crying out to the throne of God for mercy and for help. You know, the Lord hears every single one of their cries. And this is what Jesus said. He said, "It is not the desire of my Father who is in heaven that even one of these little ones should be lost or perish." And so you imagine the heart of God is just so stirred over this issue. Oh my goodness. Imagine their voices coming out and their cry for help coming into his ears. Well, we see the response of God here in verses 7 through 19. I like to call it the heavenly response. I'm going to skip some there and go on to verse 13, but that's really intense stuff if you want to read it sometime. The Lord thundered in the heavens, and the Most High uttered his voice. What does it look like, verse 13, for the Most High to utter his voice? And that's what I'm praying for. God, utter your voice. Let your voice be heard in the legislative chambers of Georgia. God, let your voice be heard in South Dakota. God, let your voice be heard in the Supreme Court. God, thunder from heaven. Thunder from heaven over the issue of abortion. Thunder from heaven over these innocent ones that have been killed. Let your voice be heard, Lord. Verse 16, he sent from on high. He took me. And he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a broad place, and he rescued me because he delighted in me. This is what we're crying out for God to do. There's a couple of things about this verse. Verse 17, or verse 16, it talks about them being delivered and drawn out of many waters. Moses, the actual name of Moses means drawn out of many waters, and it's an allusion back to how the Hebrew babies, they were killed, and God rescued that one Moses as a deliverer. And that's part, I mean, it's part of Satan's end time strategy is to take out a generation, and he's done that through abortion. You know, 50 million of your peers have been taken out through abortion since 1973, and the Lord wants to draw them out of many waters. He wants to, just like he did with Moses and rescuing him, God wants to rescue them. I like verse 19. He rescued me because he delighted in me. It's the delight of Jesus. He wants to take these little ones. He wants to rescue them. He wants to pull them out of this destruction. And so this is a scripture I pray a lot with a connection with 2 Thessalonians 3:1-5, just crying out that God would deliver them. to talk about something else here. Specifically, we have focused a lot of prayer in the past, not so much now, but I'm trying to see a resurgence of that, on the ending of abortion in Kansas City. As you'll learn in the prophetic history, God has called this place to be a city of refuge. And biblically speaking, that abortion cannot be happening, I think, in a place that is called to be a city of refuge. So we're crying out to God that the Lord would end the killing of babies here in Kansas City. So that is something I'm trying to direct my heart and my energy as an intercessor into, crying out, Lord, end abortion in Kansas City. Well, I'm going to talk about human trafficking now. Recently, God began to grip our house with the issue of human trafficking. It was something amazing, just because it just seemed like it was out of nowhere. Just like all of a sudden, God began to grip our house. It was like a steady little, you saw little drops of it, and then all of a sudden, it has just rushed upon our house, and it's totally God. Well, on Monday, February 5th of this year, one of our leaders, Benji Nolo, he was sharing a burden the Lord had placed on his heart with his team, with their briefing. And they took that issue of human trafficking into their 8 p.m. intercession meeting. And as he was sharing with his team, one of the girls spoke up, one of the singers, she spoke up and she said, I had a dream about this, like, last night. And it was pretty crazy, you know. Benji's talking about this. She's like, I had a dream. And in the dream, she was kidnapped by a foreign man and taken to the home of an American man. And when she was inside, she realized that she was in a brothel, and she realized that she was going to be forced into a life of prostitution, that she was going to have to be a prostitute for the rest of her life. That was going to be the life she was going to be forced into, which this happens every day to many. And in the dream, she began to see the babies. This is a very interesting part. She would have to abort as a result of this lifestyle. She was realizing that if she was going to stay in this lifestyle of prostitution, she was going to have multiple abortions. And then, suddenly, praise the Lord, she heard a voice, and she believes it was Jesus, and it was singing over her, open up the heavens over the weak. And this is the cry of God. So they focused the 8 p.m., that 8 p.m., intercession meeting on the issue of human trafficking. And I was there, as for several of the staff, you can ask them about that. It was intense. Like, the Spirit of God was in the room. I haven't been in an intercession meeting like that in a long time. I mean, just the fire of God was on the intercession. There was just an engaged prayer meeting. I mean, man, the people were, you know, just praying, engaging with the Lord over this issue. And it was really intense. And we just cried out for 2 hours for that. And a day and a half later, Wednesday, February 7th, you can look this up on the internet, Austrian authorities busted a huge child pornography ring involving over 2,300 child pornographers in 77 countries. Pretty wild. It's like, we pray, and God immediately responded to our prayers. That's amazing, because, you know, many times we pray, and we don't see the results immediately, but this time we saw the results within a day and a half. God broke in, busted this child pornography ring. The suspects that they were, the 2,300 suspects, they paid for several things, and some of this will be a little bit graphic, so just prepare yourselves. But the suspects paid to view videos depicting infants and young children being sexually abused. Federal police called the case a strike against child pornography, unprecedented in Austrian history. That just messed me up, the infants. God, break in with justice. Well, the interior minister was going after 600 suspects that are in the United States. So 600 of those people that were busted are in the U.S. They're right here in America. And they went after several others. Well, it's... Well, I'm going to get into that in a little bit, but this issue affects not only foreign nations in Thailand and other places, it also affects America. It's terrible. Well, the gruesome reality is that trafficking in women and girls is the second or third most profitable industry used by organized crime after drugs and guns. The United Nations estimates that as many as 4 million women and children are trafficked around the world for purpose of forced prostitution, labor, and other forms of exploitation every year. 4 million are put into slavery every year. That is way more than happened during the Civil War times in the 1800s. We are seeing slavery at levels in the world today that has never happened. Every 30 seconds or 2,500 per day, another person becomes a victim. Another organization reports that there are over 1 million children entering the sex trade every year, and approximately 30 million children have lost their childhood through sexual exploitation over the past 30 years. There's 27 to 30 million individuals in slavery today, and 70 to 75% of those people are in sexual slavery. That's like a lot. And to make matters worse, 40% of the ex-prostitutes interviewed said that policemen were clients at their brothels. And so actually in these nations where it's happening, including, well, in these nations, the policemen are actually coming in and taking part in that instead of doing what they're supposed to do and bringing forth justice and busting these places. Some people have reported that actually money has changed hands, and that's true, that money often changes hands in between these brothels and the policemen, bribing them to keep silent. In one case, a woman said that the police tipped her pimp off that there was a raid coming, and another woman actually claimed that a policeman dragged her back to the brothel. The policeman dragged the woman back to the brothel. It's like, God. And the United States is not aloof to human trafficking. The Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, the State Department says that at least 50,000 human trafficking victims are brought into the United States every year. 50,000 are brought into America every year. The United States is among the top three destination countries for sex trafficking. And there are at least 2.4 million children that are exploited in the sex industry in America today. Did y'all know this was going on in America? I didn't. I didn't until about a week ago. There's a major connection in between human trafficking and abortion. As I began to study this, again, I've only been looking at this for a couple of weeks. That's why I'm so close to my notes. I don't know this stuff. God's been gripping my heart with abortion for 4 or 5 years, but the issue of human trafficking, I didn't even really know about it. And there's such a connection in between abortion, because most of these girls are reported to have had a dozen or more abortions in their time of human trafficking. So literally, not only is the injustice of enslaving women and little girls, little boys, we see this injustice that it's feeding abortion. It's feeding abortion to the tune of a dozen per person. That is wild. Well, turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation 18. I'm going to share a little bit about that. The issue of slavery and human lives is a very clear theme of the end times. It's something that's going to be taking place, and it's only going to increase as we near the day of the Lord. Revelation 18, verse 11, "And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn over her because no one buys their cargoes anymore." And here's the cargoes that they're weeping over. "Cargoes of gold and silver and precious stones and pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and every kind of wood and every article of ivory and every article made with very costly wood and bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and spice and incense and perfume and frankincense, wine, olive oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, cargoes of horses and chariots and slaves and human lives." So we're living in a day where slavery and human lives, that literally there will be a generation that will be raised up after us that they will weep. They will weep because they no longer have these people that are slaves. And God help us. Another point we're praying for is God would encounter those in the homosexual lifestyle. A percentage of Americans with same-sex attraction is approximately 3%. It's basically, any of you who have been around anywhere know that this is an issue. God is, our culture is fastly moving to the acceptance of homosexuality. The number of people experimenting with same-sex behavior is increasing. And as a result of marital breakdowns, in a spirit of license and rebellion in our culture. Teen culture is gay friendly. I mean, it's a serious issue. We want to cry out specifically that God would encounter the hearts of those people in this lifestyle of homosexuality, and that he would just break in with his word. We want to pray also for meekness for IHOP, and that we would be a powerful expression of how Jesus transforms idolaters into lovers of himself. So there's three issues that I encourage you, just as things move forward in your internship here, if God grips you with this heart of human trafficking, go up there, take an apostolic prayer. 2 Thessalonians 3:1-5 is one of my favorites for this issue. It says, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the Lord would deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men." Oh my goodness, has that prayer ever applied to a situation like the issue of human trafficking? God, deliver these ones. Deliver these ones who are oppressed in the hands of people in human trafficking. Take that prayer up there and be an advocate for those people that are those little girls and little boys, little old women that are being oppressed by people in America as well as all over the world. And then also the issue of abortion and the homosexual lifestyle. So let's look at Isaiah 42. This is a scripture that applies to both of these issues. It lets us look at Jesus. And that's what we want to do, right? We want to behold the Son. We want to look at the one who is just. Otherwise, we lose hope in the midst of this battle. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not cry out or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands will wait expectantly for his law." Like that first phrase, it says, "Behold my servant." And the passage begins with an exhortation for us to look at the Son of God. And it calls us to behold in Jesus the characteristics of him, what he looks like. And Stuart talked a little bit about this on Sunday. He talked about the beholding becoming principle. Y'all remember that? Talked about looking at God and letting our hearts be transformed by looking at him. Well, my heart, just my testimony, I've looked at Isaiah 42 for the past year and a half or so, and my heart is just being transformed as I'm seeing the warrior king, as I'm seeing Jesus, the one who is coming forth to bring forth justice in the midst of mercy, the one who is coming forth as a judge of all the earth. Oh, my heart has just been transformed by that. So we're going to look at just a couple of those phrases real quick. The first one is verse 4. I like the way the ESV translates it. It says, "He will not grow faint or be discouraged until he has established justice in the earth." This passage became intensely personal for me last year because South Dakota did not pass the abortion ban. And when they didn't do that, I was discouraged. I mean, honestly, y'all, I was discouraged. I'm like, God, I fought this thing, Lord. We prayed. I mean, the IHOP, we fasted. We were on the lifelines for that time. I mean, we were just really contending for this as a house. And last year with the Doe versus Bolton case as well. And I was discouraged, y'all. I was so discouraged. And I think I was near being crushed. But in beholding the Son, I see this man. You know what? Jesus. He's so relentless. He is not discouraged. He does not stop until he sees justice established in the nations of the earth. He will not grow faint. He will not be discouraged until he sees this. And this is so necessary for our hearts. If we're going to continue in this battle for the long haul, we have to see the one who is neither growing faint, who is neither being discouraged until he sees justice established. Because we're going to win many more battles, and you know what? We're going to lose many more battles before this thing is over until we see the hope that we're longing for in Jesus coming and establishing his kingdom of perfect justice. Guys, that's what we need. We don't need a political party. We don't need a candidate. We need the kingdom of God to come to the earth. Because when the kingdom comes, Jesus is going to bring forth justice to every person who's oppressed, to every woman in brothels all over the earth. Jesus is going to come forth as a mighty warrior, stirring up his zeal like a mighty man of war. Though he's kept silent for a long time, he stilled and restrained himself. He will come forth like a warrior. He will come forth. And we will see it with our eyes. He will bring forth justice. We'll be looking at that in Revelation. Jesus comes forth like a warrior. He breaks in on the scene of human history and he says, you know what? No more. It's enough. It's enough. You've oppressed people long enough. I will come forth as a judge of all the earth. One more phrase, then I'm done. Verse 3. A dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. I love this phrase. We can't forget mercy. In the midst of all of this, we cannot forget his mercy because this is who he is. I paraphrase this part in a song I wrote called Mighty Warrior. Here's what I wrote, just maybe interpreted a little bit for you. I wrote, even the flames that are barely flames at all, you will not quench. If he sees even a flicker of a flame in someone's heart, even in the oppressors, guys, this is hard. Even in the people who are beating women and forcing them into prostitution, if he sees a flicker of a flame, he won't quench it. And he calls them to come to him and repent. As we approach these topics involving very wicked men, we must remember mercy. He is a judge, and he will judge wickedness. I assure you, he will come forth on the scene of history, and he will judge all wickedness. But for the offenders and the offended, he stands with nail-pierced hands, offering them to repent and be saved from eternal judgment for their eternal offense. He calls them. Guys, he calls them. Even though they're wicked, he calls them to come to him. And all of us have drank from this well of convenience and sexual immorality, which fuels these issues. It's not a matter of us and them. It's not a matter of me and those people out there who are doing wickedness. It's a matter of us. Daniel prayed a wonderful prayer in Daniel 9. He said, Lord, we have sinned. We have acted wickedly. Daniel bore the guilt for his nation. And this is how we must come before the Lord with these issues. Our hands are dirty with blood and the blood of thousands in our nation. And I also encourage you that this issue will stir up many things in your heart. And I encourage you, let this issue drive you to the place of repentance, for the place where you are allowing sexual immorality even in your own life. Guys, we got to come clean. We got to come clean. If we're going to go to the place of intercession, crying out for God to break in with justice, we have to come clean in our own hearts. We have to break our agreement with pornography. We have to break our agreement with lust of the eyes. We have to break our agreement with these things, guys. And we have to come before the Lord like that. Zechariah 3 gives that call. He calls Joshua the priest, remove the filthy garments. As he says, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you and will clothe you with robes. Jesus is calling us today to be clean of these issues. And so I encourage you, take that before the Lord in the prayer room tonight and just say, God, I want to repent. I want to lay these issues before you of sexual immorality. And then also another group of you in here, no doubt, I know this is kind of sensitive, but there might very well be some women in here as well. You might have actually had an abortion. And I want to tell you, God's mercy is extended to you today. He loves you. He delights in you. And he forgave you a long time ago. And I just want to encourage you with that. Even as we pray for the issue of abortion, I I know that it might stir some of those things up again in your heart and remembering those things, because I know that it's something that many deal with for years after that. Or maybe there's some men in here that you convinced a woman to have an abortion. You know what? God's mercy is here for you even tonight. And I encourage you, just take it into the prayer room tonight and say, God, here I am. Lord, I know you love me. I know you love me, even though and I know that your mercy is towards me. Amen.